Again, good evening.
Good evening.
Delighted to have you with us tonight. We are in the wonderful book of Daniel. So turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 6 tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the blessing it is to gather here together, as we sung a moment ago, as your bride. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a future and a hope, and we're looking forward very, very soon to the wedding supper of the Lamb. In the meantime, Lord, may we be walking and watching and waiting and witnessing in great anticipation of your soon return. At the same time, Lord, may we love the lost. May we love the unlovely, just like you did for us. And may we be so filled with your Holy Spirit overflowing, Lord, that people would just ask, what are you so happy about? Where'd you get that sparkle in your eye? We get it from a pill, the gospel. And it's the good news of Jesus Christ that makes us happy, that gives us joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, we do pray tonight for Dave and Carlos's grandma who has gangrene in her foot. We pray for a healing there, Lord, so she doesn't have to have any of it removed, her foot or her leg. Give them peace. It's so hard to watch our loved ones when they're suffering through afflictions and illnesses. And Lord, I do pray for Jacob Balin over at the Morningside Calvary Chapel Fellowship in Whittier. Be with him as he had a stroke. Be with that fellowship as they so love their pastor. And also we do pray for Heidi's grandma, Betty, that you'd be with her. It's such a joy to see her coming in through the doors of this church in spite of her being very, very close to going home to be with you. She still wants to fellowship with the saints. And any others that are going through trials, tests, troubles, tribulations, physical illnesses, whatever they might be, Lord, just be the God of all comfort there and to meet them where they are. And we just lift them before you in prayer tonight. Thank you for prayer. And we're going to see tonight, again, in this wonderful book, how important prayer is in the lives of your people. And oftentimes, Lord, I'm guilty of neglecting it, relying on my own strength or my own wisdom, rather than, Lord, seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, that all these things would be added unto us. So again, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the great worship. Thank you for the wonderful people you brought here tonight to sit at your feet, that we would hear from you, the good shepherd, as you feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Daniel, this is a familiar story. If you've ever been in Sunday school, it's Daniel in the lion's den. Some people think it's a fable, a fairy tale, a falsehood. Today would say fake news. But you know what? This is the real thing. This is the real deal tonight. This is a fact. This took place. And what an incredible story we have about a man by the name of Daniel who purposed in his heart not to sin against God. And that's the key, I think, for all of us. He was a young man when he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the things of the world. But you know what? We as believers, young and old, need to purpose in our hearts what we're going to do before we get into a situation. And we should always pray in anticipation of any type of situation. Who knows what tonight holds, tomorrow holds, and with what's going on in our country and in our world. So we should purpose in our heart in advance what we're going to do when the times of trial and testing and trouble come. Let's look at the first three verses tonight, and then we'll come back and go over it. We have a new king by the name of Darius. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Wow. I look at this, and this is nothing short of miraculous here. Here he was taken captive, Babylon. Here he's in just a total heathen, pagan type of a nation and an atmosphere. And by living a life above reproach, God exalts him. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And some of us, not myself, of course, I get to work for the greatest boss of all in what I do, but some of you have to work in the midst of pagans and heathens out there. And I know it's very difficult for a lot of you, but there are some important points and lessons in our text here tonight so that you can be that light in a dark place. And so thus far in the book of Daniel, we've seen God's servants living exemplary lives. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, doing nothing but good on behalf of the Babylonians. What a lesson, first of all, we see there. Because a lot of people, when they work in a pagan environment, all they'd want to do is rip them apart. Christians are guilty of that. Rather than glorifying God in all that we say and all that we do, oftentimes we as Christians can be a bad witness in a worldly atmosphere, in a carnal atmosphere. And I don't think that's God's will. And these guys were a wonderful example of that. And even though Daniel was way over 80 years of age, he was still being used incredibly by God. And no matter what your age may be, young or old, we are all still instruments in the hands of God. And he can use us, no matter how old you are, how young you are. And God disproves any excuses in his word of anybody saying, well, I'm too young, or I'm too old. You know, God can use us all. And you can find in the Holy Scriptures between Genesis 1:1 and the maps in the back, many people that God has used of all ages. So you're never too old. You're never, guys, a viejo in the kingdom of God. And God wants to use every one of us. Daniel was one of the top three rulers in the kingdom. He advanced rapidly through the ranks. He had earned a place of respect with every pagan king that he served under. And Darius is the third king that he served under. And he gained the respect of all three of those kings. What a lesson. That's why God exhorts us in the book of Romans chapter 13 to pray for those in leadership. And I think it's important that we do that. Yes, it is hard to pray for some of the leaders that we have in this nation and throughout the world. But it's not a suggestion when God tells us to pray for them. It's a command. We are to pray for them. He had earned a place of respect with every king. One of the best ways to influence non-believing employers is to work diligently, responsibly, and credibly. It's important that you work as unto the Lord. And in all reality, if you are working in a worldly atmosphere, you're working for the Lord. When you seek to please him, it's amazing how everything else falls into place. Christian employees should be an asset to every employer. Your life and your testimony and the gifts and talents that God has given you should be a blessing to your boss, no matter what they believe. Why? Because when they see your production, if you would, when they see that you're diligent and you're credible, they're probably going to ask you one day, man, what is it that's different about you than the rest of the employees here? You're always on time. You're never late. You don't add an extra 15, 20 minutes to your coffee break. You're always producing. You're an asset to this company or whatever it might be. And Daniel was in the workplace with heathens who did not believe in his God. He was surrounded by him. He was a leader in the midst of a whole bunch of leaders that were heathens, and he was the only believer, and yet he worked more faithfully and efficiently than all of the others, all the time. Over the years, Daniel actually made enemies by doing a good job, and sometimes that can happen to you and I in the workplace. And yes, as a Christian, I worked in a heathen environment till God moved me out. And I think it's important that, you know, that we do a good job unto the Lord and keep your armor on, because you will take some shots because of your religion, because of your relationship with God. They think it's a religion, but we know it's a relationship. So how well do you represent God in your workplace, to your employer? What do they think of you? Do you tell them, or do you show them that you're a believer? And I think There's an important lesson in this. Why? Because if you are preaching at work, your employer is not paying you to preach. You're preaching on his time. He's not called you to preach. He's called you to produce. And I've seen that as a bad witness in the workplace at times. Let your works speak for themselves. Let your production speak for itself. Are you always texting at work? I tell you what, man. I'm always noticing people on the clock in various places. I'm not going to name any occupations out there. But I'm going, man, look at that guy or look at that gal. They spend half their day texting. Your boss is not paying you to text. Your employer is not paying you to text. He's paying you to work. And I think this is important stuff because that's the testimony that Daniel had and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They worked as unto the Lord. And so Daniel, even 80 years of age, was doing such a great job. He made enemies. Look at verses 3 and 4. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because of an excellent spirit was in him. And what is that excellent spirit that you and I have within us today? The person of the Holy Spirit. He abides in us. He has sealed us for the day of redemption. He empowers us. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. You see, the king noticed his work ethic. But notice this. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Wow, what a testimony. What an employee. This guy should have won Employee of the Month every month. He was squeaky clean. And not in a proud, arrogant way. He worked unto the Lord. We talked about this Tuesday morning in our book on humility. How one of the things, and this is not just for the men, but this is for everybody that names the name of Jesus Christ, that we should always, 24/7, sense the presence of God within our lives. We should always sense that God is always watching us. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He sees everything we do. He hears every word that we say. He sees our actions. He knows everything about us, every thought, every hair on our head. And so I think it's important that we sense the consciousness of God within our lives. Over the years, Chuck Smith always at our pastor's conferences encouraged us to sense the presence of God through the Holy Spirit within our lives. And if that's happening within your life, whether it's work or play, whatever you do, you're always going to be a living testimony for the Lord. You're not going to flesh out. You're not going to be a carnal Christian. Jesus in Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely." That's the key. "For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." And so here, these guys are kind of arming up. They sought to find some charges against Daniel. And because they couldn't find anything against him, they now seek to find something in his relationship with God that they can nail on him, if you would. They could find no charge, no fault. He was faithful. No error, no fault found in him. Oh, that could be said of every one of us in our walk with Christ. And we all have the ability to do that. We're all without excuse because God gives us an excellent spirit in the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. But yet today, you look around and you see people that name the name of Christ and their lives are out of control. Their language, their attitude, critical spirit, worst employee at work rather than the model employee. And you know, when you're living a model life in Christ, again, not in a Pharisaical way, not in a hypocritical way, not preaching to everybody, you're going to be persecuted. And that's why Jesus said, "Blessed are you." How do you respond when you're persecuted? Do you feel blessed? "Oh man, I'm blessed. I got persecuted today." And when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, how do you respond? But notice, when they do this, say this for his sake. That's the key. If you're in the flesh, if you're carnal, and if you're, you know, rebuking everybody and damning everybody and telling them they're all going to hell, then if you get rebuked, Or if you are persecuted for the wrong reasons, you're just getting what you deserve. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, when we are persecuted for the right reasons. And Daniel was doing such a great job that Darius noticed and was actually considering setting Daniel over the whole realm. He was third in charge now. He was going to put him up as the number one man. But then we see in the last part of verse 4, because he was faithful, there was no error or fault found in him. What a testimony. Whenever you work as unto the Lord, whenever you seek to excel, there are always those who want to hold you back, tear you up, and drag you down. Happens all the time. I remember in my BC days, I was in the military, and you always have guys that come in that are Christians, and they don't do the things that all the other GIs are doing. And we tried to drag these poor guys down. I look back now, and I go, man, what an idiot I was. That guy was walking with the Lord. He was a Christian, and I was in the flesh, and I was a heathen, and I'm trying to cause this kid to stumble. What a bummer, man. I regret it. And sometimes I wish I could go back and apologize to the guy or the guys that we tried to trip up. And that's what's going to happen to you if you're working in a pagan environment. There's going to be those people who are going to try to trip you up and drag you down. We go from a so in the first verse to verse 4, we go to a but in the second part. But they could find no charge, no fault, no error. They couldn't pin anything on him. Did you notice what they did find here? They found he was faithful. Wow. What a wonderful thing to be accused of, being found faithful. Man. Why? Because when you're faithful, when you live your life above reproach, when you have nothing to hide, that's exactly what your enemies will find. Nothing. And oh, isn't it wonderful when they can find us faithful? And being above reproach does not mean that you will not be reproached. A lot of people misunderstand what that means. Oh, you will be reproached, but you will be above the things that they reproach you for. That's what it means, that you're living a life in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be attacked, but like Daniel, we need to rely on God. They couldn't find any fault in faithful Daniel. So what do they do now? And this was a big mistake. They couldn't find any fault in him, so they tried to find a fault in his God, in his relationship. Now, how dumb is that? We know that as Christians, trying to find fault in his God. Many people today try to find fault in Jesus Christ. How dumb is that? That's pretty foolish. So notice, they try to find fault in the law of his God. Verse 5. Then these men said, shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And so that's the next step. And the same thing will happen to you. They might not be able to pin anything on you or tag anything on you and find you faultless and faithful. So the next thing they'll do is attack your relationship with God. If and when you face jealousy and criticism for your faith, rejoice that they are criticizing that part of your life. Because it's a bummer if they are criticizing something that is sinful and true in your life. So rejoice that they're criticizing that part of your life that is above reproach. Hypocrisy, legalism, unloving, pride, living a Pharisaical life, those are things that are deserved. And we have to be very, very careful in the workplace, in the play place, within our family, unsafe family, and sometimes even saved family. We have to be very, very careful not to be a hypocrite, to be legalistic, to be unloving, to be prideful or Pharisaical, and always pointing things out. The way we're supposed to respond in the workplace or wherever we are is through love. Love never fails. Grace, mercy. And you know what? We're going to see that in the life of Daniel here tonight. Even in his response when he was falsely accused, he still had respect for the king. He still had respect for those that were in authority. He continued to walk by faith. We need to walk by faith as well. And remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. Look at verse 6. And so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. You know what we call those folks. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps and the counselors and the advisors have consulted together. What do you mean, all? They're missing one, aren't they? Daniel. What do you mean, all have consulted together? To establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. What a bummer. They didn't all come together and throng around the king. Daniel was missing. To throng means to crowd about him. Now, in the Medo-Persian Empire, when they passed a law, it was set in stone. When the law was made, even the king could not change it back. And they knew that. And so they set the king up. Here they used two of the most powerful tools of the enemy to set the king up. And you know what? These are still two of the most powerful tools today that the enemy will use to trip us up. Number one, second part of verse 6, flattery. Beware of flattery. The second one is in verse 7, pride. They are setting this poor king up with these two things, flattery and pride, man. And they still work together today for evil. What's the flattery? Oh, King Darius, live forever. They're just setting him right up, man, for the kill. And the second one, oh, man, they get him again here. Where they touch his pride, where they say, you know what, man, for 30 days, you're going to be worshipped as God. And man, that really had to stroke his flesh. And you know, there's very few leaders, even to this day, who can resist these two traps, would you say? Look around at the men and women in leadership throughout the world and within our own nation, within our own community, that have a hard time resisting flattery and pride. Because oftentimes, those are the main tools that people use to get to them. And Darius was an excellent ruler. An administrator, he had a great record. But he had one fatal flaw. Pride. And we can see that here. These liars and deceivers knew exactly what they were doing as they appealed to his vanity. And the same thing again holds true today. They appeal to the vanity of people with flattery and with pride. Oh, king, live forever. Then they set the hook. We're going to let you be God. For 30 days. People will only worship you. Boy, I could really go with this one, but I'm going to behave tonight. There are many people in leadership roles today that almost make themselves out to be God. Pretty crazy, isn't it? And in doing so, they intentionally set up a dinner reservation for Daniel. And Daniel's going to be the dinner, unfortunately. Look at verse 8. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. And therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Man, what a bummer. So he signs it. God for a month decree. This would be his legacy. And word gets back to Daniel, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. He knew all about it. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees. He's just like Nehemiah, huh? Nehemiah. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. He wasn't shaken, was he? Look at this guy. He just went about his daily worship and routine as a believer in the Most High God. He wasn't rattled. He wasn't threatened by human leaders. I'm mindful of Acts chapter 4 and 5, where Peter and John were arrested. Why? Because they preached Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. And they were told by the rulers. They were severely threatened not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. You know there are people being threatened today not to preach in the name of Jesus? And guess what they're doing? They're not preaching in the name of Jesus anymore. That bothers me. No one's going to shut my mouth. I'm going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his coming again. And I don't care what anybody says. I really don't. Because I'm not here to please man, I'm here to please God. You can never please man, but you certainly can always please God. But you know what these guys did? Peter and John, man, they preached it anyway. I love these guys. Wouldn't you love to travel on a missionary journey with these guys? They had fun. They got beaten with rods. They got stoned. They got, you know, they had a great time, man. And they were arrested again, Peter and John. They were brought before the council. And what the council said? Did we not command you not to teach in his name? I love this part. They said, you've filled all of Jerusalem with your doctrine. Oh, that we would be accused of filling all of the Coachella Valley with this doctrine today. Well, they tell us to shut our mouths, don't they? Their response, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that should be our response. We ought to obey God rather than men. One of the many great things Donald Trump is doing, it is getting rid of the Johnson Amendment that keeps pastors from preaching the truth about the political system and using their tax-exempt status. Who gives a rip about that? Preach it anyway. And now we'll be able to unload, man, both barrels. Not that we don't do that anyway. You know. Paul named names. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. And you know, when the shoe fits, we'll talk about it. That's what I love about Nehemiah, man, going through Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls, and the pagans paid for it. There's a lot of wonderful parallels that we're seeing about our nation and the state we're in. And what we should be doing, not pointing the finger at them, but we need to be like Nehemiah. We need to pray like never before. And you know, a man never stands so tall as when he kneels to pray. Or a woman never stands so tall as when she kneels to pray. How's your prayer life? Are you doing battle on your knees? God's army travels on its knees. Daniel knew about the law. He wasn't surprised. Daniel also knew that prayer was his lifeline to God. Do you know that tonight? Do you know that prayer is your lifeline to God? And it shouldn't always be a rocket prayer. There's times for rocket prayers. Nehemiah had a rocket prayer. But you know what? If your prayer life, he prayed three times a day, but yet I believe he prayed constantly. We can pray without ceasing. That's what Paul tells us in Thessalonians. We can always be with the consciousness of God, having open dialogue with him in our hearts. We can always be praying. Don't wait until you need to shoot up a rocket prayer to start praying. That's not a good time. Again, we need to purpose in our hearts in advance what we're going to do. And part of purposing in our hearts what we're going to do in dangerous situations is to pray. Daniel had a disciplined prayer life. Three times a day, 9, 12, and 3. He made no attempt to hide. They would have sought him out anyway, right? He just went to his same prayer spot that he went to every day. They knew where to find him. But you know what? That didn't bother him. He did it anyway. Hiding would have shown that he was afraid of men. Do you hide the fact that you're a Christian? Are you ashamed to pray for your food in public? Now, I'm not talking about standing up on the table and saying, oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like the rest of these heathens in this restaurant. No, that was the Pharisee at the wall. No, bow your head to pray. Doesn't it blow you away when you see someone else praying in the restaurant? And like, man, look, man, we got some. Very few people even pray today for their food. They hide their lamp. Jesus said, don't hide your lamp under a basket. Let your light shine. Look what Jesus Christ did for you, and we're ashamed of him at times? No way, man. The fear of man is a snare, the Bible says, Proverbs 29:25. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Do you know that? That the fear of man is a snare. He'll trip you up, rip you off. But it goes on to say that whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. We're safe wherever we go. One of my favorite things is to go to some of the most dangerous places in the Lord. I won't name any, but man, we've gone to some incredible places. And people are going, you're going to go there? You could get killed. I'm going, yeah, that's pretty exciting to me. Why? Because I never fear man. I have an appointment with God. You have an appointment with God. It's never going to be changed. You're not going to be early. You're not going to be late. You're going to be right on time. And God knows exactly when you're going to spend your last breath here on earth. So what are we afraid of? People? You can't pray in school. You can't pray here. You can't do this. Baloney. We need to rise up. That's what Nehemiah did to people. Rise up and went to work. Don't fear man. Fear God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. Continued prayer would give him the strength he needed. And be it liars or lions, he was ready. God provides what we need when we need it. And God is able to take care of the lions and the liars and the liberals, if you would. Kind of one and the same, liars and liberals. Verse 14, moving right along. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He was bummed. He was sorry that he had made that decision. He got hoodwinked because of the flattery and because they touched on his pride. And look at what it caused him. Verse 15, then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." He's really in a jam now. He signed it, can't change it, ever. And so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Wow. I almost have to believe that the king was interceding in prayer for him now. Man, I messed up, Daniel. And look at you, you're going into the lion's den. And so here we see, meanwhile, back at the palace, the king is displeased, the Bible says. Daniel's cast in the lion's den. The decree has to be carried out. He signed it. And I have to believe, and I think it's pretty evident here tonight, that the king had a very special place in his heart for Daniel because of the character and the nature of this young man who believed in the God of heaven and earth. And he had a special heart in his place for Daniel. God gave him favor with the king. It says he is displeased in his heart at what he had done. Can't be changed now. And he actually did all he could to deliver him, even till the sun went down. He did everything within his power to try to deliver Daniel from the lion's den. He even spoke to Daniel saying, "Your God whom you serve, he will deliver you." What a testimony, huh? He had such a testimony that a heathen king said, "Your God that you believe in is going to deliver you." Man, that's incredible. What a testimony. And he had to lay a stone over the mouth of the den, and he sealed it with his ring. Now, in Mesopotamia, lions roamed the forests and the countryside. They were all over the place. And the people lived in fear of lions and greatly respected their power. And kings often hunted lions for sport. And the Persians would also capture the lions and keep them in large parks where they were fed and attended to. Today we call them zoos. And we see here that they were often used for executing people. What a horrible way to go. And you know what? We don't read of any fear in Daniel's heart. They just put him right in there. Boom. He was prayed up. He was pumped up. Because he trusted in God. If God would deliver him, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Praise the Lord. If not, praise the Lord still. And the same thing with you and I. We don't have to fear anything. No matter what comes our way, has to pass through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Everything that comes your way has to pass through the nail-scarred hand of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He purchased you. You belong to Him. Like your own children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, would you ever let anybody get at them? And we will do all that we can in our own power to protect them. And how about omnipotent God, all-powerful God, taking care of you and I? We don't have to fear anything, even death. Because Jesus Christ took the sting out of death on the cross. And our last breath here on earth will precede our first breath in heaven. And sometimes we fear death. The enemy tries to rip us off. Tries to strangle us with fear. It was a long night for the king. Verse 18 tells us, didn't sleep a wink. I have to believe that Daniel did, because God used an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And, you know, wouldn't it be funny if we got to heaven and asked Daniel, he said, man, that lion's mane was the most comfortable pillow I ever had. Just slept right on that dude. That wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise you? That's the God that we serve. The king didn't sleep, but Daniel, man, he probably woke up going, oh, man. Right on. Good night's sleep. You ever had that happen in really difficult times in your Christian life where something that you were going through otherwise would have caused you to just toss and turn and stay up all night? And man, you just pray, Lord, give me a good night's sleep, and bingo. Next thing you know, you're brushing your teeth. It doesn't tell us what Daniel's night was like, but you know me, I like to try to figure out what it was really like. But I would have to say he probably slept like a baby. Why? Because the person who prays, the person who trusts in God, the person who obeys God is untouchable until God grants permission. Do you know that? Do you know that Satan even had to get permission to afflict Job? You ever read that in the book of Job? He had to go and get permission. God is in control of everything. And we are untouchable until God grants permission in whatever the situation may be. We've seen the fiery furnace. Those guys come out of the fiery furnace, not even one hair singed. Didn't even smell like smoke. Lion's den. How about in the book of Esther, the guillotines? Who ended up on the guillotines? The guy that set the guillotines up by the name of Haman and his whole family. So whatever the trial or test, to trust in God gives peace that surpasses all understanding. Have you experienced that in your life? When you get through a trial and go, man, I can't believe the peace that I had that surpassed all understanding, meaning that people just can't understand the peace that we have in the midst of life's most terrible situations. There was a young man, Octavio, that spoke at our golf tournament. I mean, he got just messed up in the Middle East. Hand missing, other hand crippled, patchwork stitches all over, burned 63% of his body. And he got up and shared his love for Jesus Christ and his relationship with Him and shared the gospel with all of the golfers that were there. It was incredible how God used him. And him and his wife just had a baby. Just amazing what God can do. And God sometimes puts us in the lion's den. God sometimes puts us in the fiery furnace, but He'll never give us more than we can bear. And everything that you and I endure is to bring glory to God, because people are going to respond. How did you get through this without falling apart? How did you get through that cancer surgery? How did you get through that death of a loved one? How did you get through this open door to share? And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we received. It's not all about us. It's all about Him. We just have to get things in the right perspective. And the God of Daniel still delivers today, would you say? It's the same God today, yesterday, and always that we serve. We serve the same God as Daniel. As a matter of fact, we should be equally as strong in our faith, or even more so than Daniel, because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, and we have all 66 books in God's Word. We have the Old Testament, New Testament. We see all of those that have gone before us. We've got Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. I mean, men and women that just laid it all down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you trust in Him in every situation? Do you trust Him with your life? And this is so great. Look at verse 19. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought in before him. Also his sleep went from him, and the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? We don't know how much time passed between the next verse and that last cry from Darius. I don't know if it was immediate or maybe Daniel had a sense of humor. I'll just make this guy wait a little bit here, you know. That's what Joe would do. He cries out. He was concerned for him. He didn't sleep all night. Didn't sleep a wink. He loved Daniel. And Daniel, are you okay? As your God, whom you serve continually. And what a testimony. He knew that he was serving continually. Been able to deliver you from the lions. Wow. And Daniel said, look at this. O king, live forever. And that wasn't flattery like all the satraps and all those other guys did. He was just, he loved the king. The king loved Daniel. Daniel loved the king. O king, live forever. What must that have been like? You know, crying into the lion's den. Hey, Daniel, you okay? Hey, king, live forever, dude. How are you? Man, did I have a good sleep last night. I didn't say that. That's just my own paraphrase. Look what he says. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Wow. I call this section Lions with Lockjaw. I wonder if the angels just came in there and pinched their mouths shut and held on. Who knows? Angels are powerful as well. Lions with Lockjaw. I pray today in our nation that the liars would get lockjaw. That's my prayer. That's an imprecatory prayer. That's what David prayed. Lord, break their teeth or give them lockjaw and nausea. That's one of my common prayers for these people that spread fake news. Maybe we should pray for the liberals to have lockjaw. How about the liars? Pray for them to have lockjaw. Verse 24. 23, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. Why? Because he knew karate? Because he believed in God. Now, is that just a promise for Daniel? Lord, do you suppose that applies to us today with what we're going through? Do you believe in God? Do you trust God with every situation? It's important that we do. According to the Persian law, this cruel punishment was transferred to those who conspired against the king. And so guess what happens next? And the king gave the command and they brought those men, verse 24, who had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. The lions no longer had lockjaw. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. It's called reaping and sowing. You see the danger there is in coming against the true and the living God? It's one thing to come against Daniel, but when they begin to come against his God, God plays for keeps. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And you know what? God has ways of resolving the situation. I love to read the Arutz Sheva, which is the Jerusalem newspaper. Every time they bust somebody for threatening a terrorist act, you know what they do? They go over and they bulldoze their homes right to the ground. They take care of the situation. They don't mess around. It's amazing. Those who provoked the king to an unjust action paid for it here. Evil deeds often backfire on those who plan cruelty against others. We saw that with wicked Haman in the book of Esther. And so it's a dangerous thing to come against God's people. That's why when someone comes against you, persecutes you, whatever it is, no matter what the extreme may be, you need to pray for them big time, and I'll tell you why. You remember when Saul of Tarsus was knocked off his high horse on the way to Damascus? What did the Lord say to Saul? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, when someone's persecuting you, they are persecuting him. They are sticking their finger in the apple of God's eye because you are the apple of God's eye. So it's important to pray for those that come against you, man, big time. Don't pray to get even. Don't pray that God would spank them. Has God not extended his grace to you and I? You know, I hate to even imagine the spanking I deserved in my BC days. Death. Well, that pretty much sums it up. Death and eternal damnation and hell and lake of fire. But is that what God gave me? He gave me grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And we begin to pray for people for grace, have mercy upon them. It's amazing how our hearts change. And all of a sudden, God may just begin to open the door for you to witness and lead them to Christ. That's important. The last few verses are amazing. I love this section. Darius had come to believe that Daniel's God was real because Daniel was faithful and his God was faithful to rescue him. Look at this. Then Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you." Isn't that amazing? Who does that sound like? Jesus. Peace be multiplied to you. "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever." Now, this ought to blow you away because this is coming out of the lips of a heathen king. This is what he saw in Daniel's God. And you know what? There's a lot of people today that say, "I'm a Christian," but they don't know the character and the nature of the God in whom they serve because they don't spend time in the scriptures. They don't go to church. They don't read the word. They don't pray. They don't study the Bible. And here we see some incredible characteristics that testify of the God in whom we serve. Peace. Men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God, steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Do you know that? Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away." And included in his word are the wonderful promises of eternal life. New home, new heaven, new Jerusalem, new you. If you could see me now, they're saying up in heaven. All our loved ones that have gone before us, if you could see me now. Don't weep for me any longer. The new me. Why? Because God makes all things new. And his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. And these are promises for you and I. It's not only in Daniel's time. Today he still delivers. He still rescues. And he works signs and wonders. I'll bet if we opened up here right now, you could share times of deliverance for you, where you were saved and rescued. Signs and wonders that we've seen. Oh, I've never seen a sign and wonder. Well, just look around this room. This room is filled with signs and wonders. You have no idea who you might be sitting next to tonight or who might be in this pulpit here tonight. What we used to be. God still delivers. God still rescues. God still does signs and wonders, and you are one. To me, one of the greatest signs and wonder is for God to transform a human life. It's nothing short of miraculous. Greater than leprosy. Greater than making the blind to see and the lame to walk. Why? Because we were blind and we can't see. And we were pretty lame, some of us. Look at my generation, the 60s, bell bottoms and hip huggers. And we were lame. But he's made the lame to walk. He works signs and wonders, heaven and earth. who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions, and I must add, and the liars. Even though Daniel was a prisoner, even though Daniel was surrounded by paganism, it didn't affect his devotion to God. As a matter of fact, it probably fueled the fire. The world shouldn't pull us down. The world should actually fire us up. His devotion was a powerful witness to powerful rulers, three of them to be exact. You know what? If we're devoted, if we're faithful, God will use us to impact the lives of those around us. He really will. Last verse. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. There just seems to be this theme going on lately in the studies we've had on Sundays and on Wednesdays. I think the key word for all that we're looking at, and I think what really God really wants to instill within our hearts, is we need to be a people that pray like never before. Nehemiah chapter 1, 9 times it says pray, praying, and prayer in just that one short chapter. And he prayed 4 months before he even stepped out by faith to see what God was going to do. How's our prayer life? Are we men and women of prayer? It's so important that we pray. I just really think that if God is going to make America great again, Americans that are Christians need to pray like never before. I don't know what you care about, what you think about Donald. You need to pray for him. We prayed for the last guy for 8 years. The least we can do is pray for the next guy for 4. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's wisdom and knowledge and direction, because Proverbs 21:1 tells us that God directs the hearts of rulers like he does the rivers of water. Pray that God would direct his heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly and directly to the throne room of grace in time of need, that you're always there. Even as the book of Nehemiah tells us that your ear is attentive to our prayers. But oftentimes we forget that your ear is attentive to our prayers. You want to hear from us. And so I pray, Lord, that we would pray like never before. We don't have to pray audibly. We can pray within our hearts. We can pray driving. We can pray walking. By the way, we can lay down, rise up, as we see in the book of Deuteronomy. We can pray everywhere and anywhere. For Christians, prayer has never been out of school. We can pray. And so, Father, I pray that we would be a church that is known for prayer, that we would intercede on behalf of Donald Trump and Michael Pence and all of those leaders that you're raising up. I pray, Lord, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray, Lord, that we know that it's been God bless America for over 200 years, but I think it's about time America returned to blessing God. Help us, Lord, to pray, to seek your face, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who despitefully use us, and pray for them. Would you do that, please? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.